Father, thank you for gathering us this blessed morning. And now we are standing at the end of this year. Please, Lord, we want to listen from you. We want to listen from the scripture you gave us today. Please open our heart, Holy Spirit, so that we can listen from you and obey your words. Now, Lord, here is your servant. Please hide my weakness behind your cross, so that your glory will be shined here. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. So the word of the Lord given to us today is Acts chapter 26, verse 1 to 8. Acts chapter 26, verse 1 to 8. So I'm going to use the NET translation. So, Agrippa said to Paul, "You have permission to speak for yourself." Then Paul held out his hand and began his defense. "Regarding all the things I have been accused of by the Jews, King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate that I am about to make my defense before you today. Because you are especially familiar with all the customs and controversial issues of the Jews, therefore, I ask you to listen to me patiently. Now, all the Jews know the way I live from my youth, spending my life from the beginning among my own people and in Jerusalem. They know because they have known me from time past. If they are willing to testify that according to the strictest party of our religion, I lived as Pharisee. And now I stand here on trial because of my hope in the promise made by God to our ancestors. A promise that our 12 tribes hope to attain as they earnestly serve God night and day. Concerning this hope, the Jews are accusing me, Your Majesty. Why do you people think it is unbelievable that God raises from the dead? We modern people like talk to each other. When we see the television, people are continuously talking until program ends. Although we do not want to be awakening at night, the late night talk shows makes us rise up from the bed. According to the statistics, I know that you might know all of this. The modern people have more than 30 conversations and spend one-fifth of their life talking. What a fantastic fact is. On average, the man speaks 20,000 words per day, and the woman tells 30,000 words per day. On Sunday morning, we also talk a lot, having donuts and coffee at the back there. By the way, have you ever thought that one sentence spoken from your mouth can bring an enormous impact on someone's life? The Bible says our language determines the way of the Christian life. Folks, this is really important. Do you want to know your future 10 years ahead of you? You do not have to go to psychics or palm readers. Just look back your language and what you have spoken. Is your mouth full of complaining and resentment? So your life will go that way. Is your mouth full of joy and happiness? So your life will be full of joy and happiness. Before we are dealing with the scriptures we read today, I want to speak about what Apostle James spoke to us. Apostle James explains this principle by giving us two examples. In James chapter 3, the first example is the beet. In the year of 1993, I had the privilege to visit the Korean Military Academy along with my uncle, one of the faculties there. My uncle brought me to the horse yard and showed me the horses used for the marching ceremonies. The horse was taller than I expected. The soldier who helped me to get on the saddle was just 5 feet and 9 inches tall. But the horse was taller than him. How can a person sit on the horse? The height of the horse overwhelmed me. Do you know how much a horse weighs? Pretty heavy. It's from 2,200 pounds to 3,300 pounds. So heavy. According to one of my old friends, a horse racer, the average weight of the horse racer is 93 pounds. 93 pounds. A horse racer weighs more than 99 pounds or 100 pounds is not qualified, because a horse racer should be a light-weighted person. By the way, this skinny horse racer tames the heavy horses with bit. This small bit controls the heavy horse. The second example is the tiny rudder. Imagine large ships around the world. The tiny rudder at the back of the ship, it controls the direction. It controls the large ships and changes direction. It means that the language we use daily is the tiny rudder. Then, Apostle James says that the tongue in your mouth is a small flame that sets a vast forest ablaze. Your language and your words from out of your mouth can destroy everything. I do not know whether you remember the forest fire that happened in 1996 at Kosong, Gangwon Province, South Korea. Thus, many of them might not remember this. Anyway, I was watching the breaking news and heard that the flame crossed the river and burned the other side. Although the distance between the two mountains was 328 feet, the fire did not care. Just fire flies across the river. According to the research done by the Department of Forest Service of Korea in 2015, they will need many decades, not a single decade, but more than 50 years to restore the burned area. The fire devoured nature. The blast killed many animals, livestock, and people. Also, it burned many houses and farmlands. The beginning of disaster was a small flame ignited by the mistake. So, the language is very difficult. So, our ancestors of Christianity, some of them, they gathered together in a remote part of the city, and they built a monastery, and they trained their language. So here's the funny story, came from the monastery in French. So there were 3 years of training. Through the year, all the monks, they were not allowed to speak out the language. So at the end of the year, they had the privilege to speak out just two words from out of their mouths. So first year, one monk said, "Hard bat." The bat was so hard for him. And the second year, he said, "Cold meal." Well, I think that they didn't have a microwave, so they had the cold meal. At the last year, he smiled and said, "Or done." So, when he spoke out these words, the head of monastery said, "You down there, you are failed." He said, "Why I'm failed? I just spoke two words." He said, "Because your words have always complaint and resentment." So, how the language of Christians look like? How should it be? What language we have to speak out? Today, the story of Apostle Paul teaches us what language the Christian should use. The scripture we read today depicts Paul's defense before the King Agrippa. From Acts chapter 21 to 26, Paul defends himself for six times. And chapter 26 is his last defense before the authorities. I think that it is crucial to look at Paul's language in his case to learn the language of Christian. So what language Paul used at the trial? I want that all of us will learn from his speech. Firstly, Paul teaches us to use active language. So what's the active language? Most of the people use passive language. Passive language means people camouflage their faces or language by using the words not coming from their heart. Let's be honest. According to whom we speak, we change our face and language. When the situation is getting worse with my workplace and studies, my word hurts the others. When everything looks good, my language is full of joy. The circumstance lords over us and drives us to use passive language. However, look at the Apostle Paul. In the series of defense before the authorities, the audiences he was dealing with were different by case by case. He had different audiences. At some moment, he had to deal with angry Jewish people. In some cases, he had to speak before the just plain people who do not know the Bible. Also, he had to present himself before the Sanhedrin, equal to the House of Senate. Well, the governor Felix was the least hostile person. However, Paul eventually faced the worst person, King Agrippa. Regardless of who was his audience, the Bible testifies that the language of Paul and his defense was consistent. Consistent. Dear brothers and sisters, this is the attitude we model after. We follow after. No matter how the situations or audiences lead us, we should pour out the consistent and unchanging gospel of Christ because we confess that we have Jesus Christ in our heart. James chapter 3, verse 10 to 11 says, "From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. These things should not be so, my brothers and sisters. A spring does not pour out fresh water and bitter water from the same opening, does it?" We assume that the recipients of James spoke the two extreme languages from out of their mouths. And James rebukes them, "You hypocrites." We have to use consistent language to the others. Our language in the house and the church should be the same. Perhaps we habitually worship and praise the Lord. And after the service, we might fight over the issue of the lunch menu. Oh, where should we eat the lunch? H-Mart? The sushi? Steak? Chinese? The flying rice? Well, I believe that you will not fight over this issue, but it does not make sense at all. As a human being full of weakness, I want to be honest. I'm making the same mistakes. In this wild Texas, driving on the highway is exceptionally stressful. On the 35, it's a disaster. When someone is driving insanely, I speak out bad languages from out of my mouth. Then my wife says, "Stop, Inda. Your kids are listening to you. And it's Sunday." Using consistent language is our lifelong assignment. But let's pray to the Lord that we would use the active language, not the passive language. Secondly, the scripture tells us to use the language interpreted through Christ. What does it mean to us? Okay, let's begin with this point. There are two views on the ethics of the human beings. Confucius and Mencius argue that the human nature is born to be good. In contrast, Sun Ji contends that human nature is evil. But look at the kids. They observe the bad languages easier and repeat them correctly. So when we look at the word of the kids, we could assume that the language of their parents. I do not want to deny that every one of us cannot be freed from the evil and its impact on our language. But is it justified to pour out all the evilness in our heart with bad languages? Everyone has deep-rooted hurts, hatred, and sickness in each one's mind. The problem begins when one pours out this without any filtration. Then this harms each other and even the body of Christ. As Christians, what should we do? What should we do? In the power of the Holy Spirit, we can interpret the darkness, the darkest moment of our lives through Jesus Christ. The Christian is the one who interprets his or her distress through Christ and speaks boldly to others. When we think of Apostle Paul, he was wrongfully accused and locked up in the prison for more than 2 years. Now, the King Agrippa gave him a chance for the defense. If I were in his shoes, I would say, "Oh, it's my turn, bastards. Honorable King Agrippa, I'm innocent. I'm sick and tired of this long trial. Don't stall for time on purpose." However, Paul did not appeal to justice. How could it be? He had Jesus Christ in his heart so that he was able to interpret his agonies in life through Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, the people who cannot see beyond their frustration do not know how to interpret their past through Christ. Their language is full of resentment, hatred, and grumbling. The history of Israel shows this too. Through Moses, God delivered Israel from out of Egypt, the house of slavery. However, they forgot the grace and love of God, who split the Red Sea and gave manna to them. They forgot everything. Their language was full of resentment and complaint. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 10 says, "And do not complain, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel." Are you still complaining? Is your heart full of resentment and hatred? But have you ever interpreted your life and your language through Jesus Christ? Now, lay down your burden under the cross. Then you will realize why God allowed you the season of hardship and the time of tribulation in your life. Since after Jesus met Paul on the way of Damascus, the presence of Christ transformed the life of Paul and reinterpreted his previous life. Actually, we didn't read the entire chapter of Acts chapter 26, but I want to read further. In Acts chapter 26, verse 9 to 12, Apostle Paul confesses, "Of course, I myself was convinced that it was necessary to do many things hostile to the name of Jesus the Nazarene. And that is what I did in Jerusalem. Not only did I lock up many of the saints in prison by the authority I received from the chief priests, but I also cast my vote against them when they were sentenced to death. I punished them often in all the synagogues and tried to force them to blaspheme. Because I was so furiously enraged at them, I went to persecute them even in foreign cities. While doing this very thing, as I was going to Damascus with authority and complete power from the chief priest." He is not complaining at all. Before he met Jesus, he boasted his passion for afflicting Christians and killing them. Paul, he thought that he is the cream of the crop in the world of Pharisees. But after his life was interpreted to Jesus Christ, he realized that he is the root of the problem. He did not blame the others. I want to paraphrase his confession like this. King Agrippa, now I realize that I am wretched. I was wrong, and I'm nothing before Christ. This is the language God anticipates from us in the coming year 2020. You might feel frustrated when you look back at your language spoken in the year of 2019. However, I believe that Jesus Christ has begun a new creation in your heart now to transform your language. If you hurt someone else with your language, please ask forgiveness. If you hurt your kids with your language, you have to kneel down to your kids and ask forgiveness. If someone hurt you, please forgive that person in the name of Jesus Christ. If your mouth is full of complaint and resentment, ask the Holy Spirit to change your language, which is interpreted through Jesus Christ. The third and the most important point is the language of mission. In Acts 26, Paul explained his past and present with the new language in Christ, and he speaks out the resurrection of Christ. But the governor Festus ridiculed Paul, saying, "You have lost your mind, Paul. Your great learning is driving you insane." Festus just regarded Paul like a crazy person. Even the king Agrippa, a Jewish man, scorned him. "In such a short amount of time, are you persuading me to become a Christian?" However, Paul did not give up. In Acts 26:29, he says, "I pray to God that whether in a short or a long time, not only you, but also all those who are listening to me today could become such as I am, except for this chains." The trial before the King Agrippa was his last chance to prove his innocence. He did not use this opportunity to do this, but he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. His primary concern was how to preach the gospel of Christ as many as I can. Let's look at ourselves. When someone misunderstands us, we are glued to the phone for many hours to resolve this issue. Here is a question for everyone. Through this year, you have spoken at least 20,000 words daily. It means that you have spoken around 730,000 words until now. Among 730,000 words, how many words did you use for sharing the gospel with others? Among 730,000 words, how many words did you use for making disciples? I believe that God will judge our every spoken word from out of the mouth. At the end of this world, how many of us can boldly confess to God, "With my language, I share the gospel with others"? Dear brothers and sisters, the language is so important to us. Without the language, we cannot communicate. Without communication, we cannot build a relationship. If we could invite the Apostle Paul to this place, he would not even grab a donut and coffee, but he will preach the gospel of Christ. The language can bring either death or life. Go and make disciples. Yes. It's the great commandment what Jesus gave to us. And we have memorized these biblical passages from our youth. Today, we see that many churches around the world emphasize evangelism and to try to invite more people to the church with a lot of programs and festivals. They look good. However, all kinds of programs and events cannot make true disciples who can abandon their life for the sake of Christ. These things cannot surpass the importance of preaching Jesus. Although the events at the church could attract many people to the church, these events are not Christ Himself. At the end of this world, you and I will stand up before Christ. And Jesus will not ignore our lack of responsibility and negligence. We must preach the Word of God so that we would transform the life, making a true disciple of Christ. There's my seminary friend, his name is Mr. John. He has had a really hard time while he has studied at Dallas Theological Seminary. He lost his mother by the cancer, and he had to sold his car because he didn't have enough money to pay his rent. And he is just walking to go to the grocery store even in the hot summer. But I do not know why he always gladly preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. I usually go to the Tom Landry Fitness Center to the physical for the physical training, and after that we enjoy go to the sauna, I mean the spa, to relieve our tensions. Even in the hot spa, he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when he starts preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to the naked people, I said, "Please stop. I'm about to die. This is steam room." And he said, "Stop it. I need to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ." And his attitude on the gospel of Jesus Christ humbles me down. I'm studying the words of God in the seminary, but while I was preparing the sermon, I asked myself, how many times or how many words I spoke out to preach and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, studying the Word of God is really important. Studying the Bible, studying at the Bible class is really, really important. Serving the body of Christ is really important. However, if we could not live out the Bible, everything is vain. To live according to the Bible, let's transform our language from now on. And let our language carry the gospel of Christ from the dawn of the coming year, 2020. Amen. Dear Lord, now we are looking at back our languages we have spoken. And we confess that we are wretched. Please, Lord, transform our heart and transform our language so that we would glorify your name through our word, through our language. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
pressing. You are making me wine. In the soil I now surrender. You are breaking. In the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. So I yield to you and to your careful hand. In the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. You are breaking new ground.
End of the year 2019 is not the end. We are heading to another journey, the new year 2020. Now, in the year of 2020, the Lord will be with you, and the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. May go in peace.